thank you everyone for coming to Trenton on a Monday afternoon. Appreciate you being here and participating in our stakeholder process. This is a first of a series of meetings. We're meeting with a bunch of different groups, and then we are going to reconvene everyone who wants to continue the conversation in September or October. Oh, now, yes, right now it's October. Limitations. So we're here today to start a conversation about the passage of the act that has us, or requires us to codify rules, specifically with respect to our permit by rules, general permits by cert, and general permits in general. And we know we need to do, at least at a minimum, do rulemaking to incorporate public access standards in the flood hazard rules and clean up some of the standards in our coastal rules that are inconsistent with the law. So I'm going to start off. We're going to introduce ourselves. The session today is being recorded. The recording will be placed on the department's website. This is for your information. My name is Ginger Comcash. I'm Assistant Commissioner for Land Use Management.
Kim? Hi, I'm Kim Springer. I'm with DEP's Office of Policy and Coastal Management.
Hi, I'm Colin Emerly. I'm with DEP's Office of Government Relations.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Mike Schuett. I'm with the Division of Law. I'm a Deputy Attorney General.
I'm Natalie Brahigan. I'm with the Office of Legal Affairs at DEP.
I'm Allison McLeod. I'm with DEP's Office of Local Government Assistance.
Jill Aspinwall, Office of Policy and Coastal Management.
Julie Shelley, New Jersey Water Supply Authority.
I'm Brendan Brock. I'm with the New Jersey Department of Transportation, Division of Environmental Resources.
Paul Selsey, New Jersey Department of Transportation, Division of Environmental Resources and Policy.
Joe Swigger, the manager of Landscape Architecture and Environmental Solutions at DOT.
Diane Down, the director of the Division of Land Use Regulation.
Jennifer Lesniak, I'm with the Office of Policy and Coastal Management.
Jennifer is also the rule writer, rule lead on this particular rule.
I was going to say that.
Yes. So I'm going to do, I think you all saw the presentation, or I think Jill, go on.
Is that canceled? Just hit cancel.
Okay. Yeah.
We didn't send it out.
Oh, you didn't? No, I thought you did. Okay, no. Excuse me. So we're going to do the stakeholdering over the summer of 2019. A proposal needs to be written by winter 2020 with a schedule to adopt by winter 2021. This schedule is consistent with the law, which says we have 18 months to propose and adopt rules. Anybody knows about rule adoptions? Most of the time is spent from proposal to adoption. And so that doesn't, like, it's like usually it's generally around a year. Doesn't give us a lot of time to write and stakeholdering, right? So we're running quickly. So the major goals of the rule: redefine what public access means, add public access restrictions into the rule, those were the exceptions in the law, provide standards when public access is required, examine all permits by rule, general permits by certification, and general permits, and add criteria for public access for marinas, because as you all know, the law was very prescriptive when it came to marinas. And I'll just say this, one of the things we did find when we were doing the stakeholdering back in starting 2010, I guess it was. I can't remember, Diane. Was it around 2010? What we found was consistently people were very much in favor of marinas and giving them almost a pass when it came to some of the prescriptive requirements they were looking for others, because they see marinas as like the everyday person's ability to access the water who don't have waterfront property.
Are you going to reach out to the Marine Trades Association again for this around?
Marine Trades attended our already attended a stakeholder
okay.
session.
Good.
Yep.
I'm just thinking, I have Office of Maritime Resources in my ear right now saying that.
Right. Public access includes visual and physical access to and use of our tidal shores, sufficient perpendicular access from upland areas to the waters, and necessary support amenities. As many of you already know, the bill itself included reference to public to parking and restrooms. This, of course, is very helpful to us as an agency if we're asking for things like parking, which we've commonly done when it comes to public access. Now we really have something to support the need for that. So the law says if you're changing the existing footprint of a structure, or there's a change in the use, or you're doing beach replenishment or beach and dune maintenance, you, the department, must do an examination and determine if additional public access is required. So today, what we want to get out of your respective agencies are, what are the things that you absolutely want to see added to the rules? What are the things you want to have taken out of the current set of rules, or concerns you may have what we might add to the rules? Now remember, this applies to flood hazard. The only times we can think of where flood hazard will be the only permit and there wouldn't already be a need for waterfront or CAFRA, probably in the Meadowlands, but still, it's going to be incorporated in. So all those permit by rules, general permits by certs, and general permits under flood hazard are probably the things that I would think your respective agencies would want to take a look at, just to understand that if we have to do an individualized public access examination under a permit by rule, then most likely it would no longer be a permit by rule. It would have to be bumped to probably a general permit at a minimum. Same thing with a GP by cert. If there's something not real clear and concise that we can put in there, a standard, under all circumstances, whatever that is, then it will likely have to be bounced to a general permit. Some other questions we had, this not necessarily apply to you guys. So topics for discussion of what types of projects require a view of public access. As the previous slides were showing, it's a change in use, a change in the footprint. So we were asking ourselves the question of what's a change in a footprint? So some people have posed questions to us like, if I'm moving away from the water's edge, but I'm still having the same square footage, is that a change in the footprint? Is that something that you would be requiring? Replacing a bulkhead in the front of an existing one, is that a change in the footprint? Now, commonly when we look at Zane and things like that, that's a change in the footprint. But we're posing the question to your organizations, like, what do you want to see? What are you most concerned about? So I'm going to start with you, Joe. When you saw the law, obviously you recognized it would impact DOT, right, and your operations.
It's been a while since I looked at it, but our biggest concern was having to. In a place where we already had a facility, a bridge for instance, and we were doing something to that bridge, but there is no existing access, we are concerned that now we would have to provide access for a structure, a facility that already existed where there was no access. And we have issues with Homeland Security kind of stuff. For if it's a bridge, you know, you're not supposed to be providing access underneath bridges. Those were the kind of things. We didn't want it to be any worse off than we already were with under the existing rules. currently are.
Because as you remember, years ago, we had a lot of discussions about the roles, and, you know, we got to a point where, you know, there's certain caveats in there that do have a little bit of assistance for us in a situation like that. Currently in the rule, I believe that if we have a project, a roadway or a bridge or something, if we're not going beyond our existing right-of-way, then we're not really not required, and there's no public access now, we wouldn't be required to provide it. And I also believe if we are expanding beyond the right-of-way, or if we're crossing a tidal, if you cross a tidal waterway, then you may need to provide. But there's certain circumstances where we have to provide it, and certain circumstances where we don't. Mm-hmm. And a sidewalk and a bridge was able to satisfy the requirement in some cases. So we're wondering, is that going to change? I guess that's the bottom line.
Well, that's what we're here to talk about, Paul. So you're describing the scenario where in the old rule we talked about the footprint of the right-of-way.
Mm-hmm.
This rule is talking about the footprint. So are you asking us to look at the footprint of the right-of-way?
Is that
the change of the footprint of the
be
right-of-way
acceptable?
Be better for us than
I think the law isn't the... I think it's a change in the footprint of the structure. Yeah, I don't think it's the right of way.
So there's also a caveat that talks about specific categories of projects, which due to the existence of an emergency condition, mm-hmm. It's not an emergency, or a condition that poses a significant immediate threat to the public health and safety. I mean, a lot of our bridges, we don't really want people fishing off of them. You know, we were talking this morning, you know, you cast your fishing reel back, you hit a car or the person and through the open window of a car, you know, with your hook or something. It's not exactly an ideal spot to be fishing in a lot of cases. It's not really safe. So we're just trying to figure out.
And the other thing is, you know, what would be, would providing a sidewalk on a bridge where there was none previously satisfy the access component, because we've now provided a visual thing, would we also have to do physical access?
Because currently it reads, public highways shall provide both visual and physical access as follows. For purposes of this subsection, an example of visual and physical access is a sidewalk on or adjacent to a bridge. So would that...
Or satisfy visual, but...
Well, I guess physical in the sense that you can, I don't know, I guess you're closer to it a little bit. I don't know. But
Can I just back us up for a second? I want to make sure I fully understand where you're coming from. So the we talked about the law that was passed is getting at changes in footprint, and I'm going to maybe start, Joe, with your comment about, we have existing bridges that we're doing something to. What's the something you're often doing?
Riprap?
Sometimes
it's just
a
bridge deck replacement or superstructure replacement, bridge deck repairs, which wouldn't change the footprint.
Okay.
But in some cases, we might be adding sidewalk where there is none to, because there's adjacent sidewalks, you know, on the approaches, but not on the bridge. So we want to widen the bridge a little bit. Or maybe the lanes are substandard and we want to make them standard. So that would be, we'd have to widen an 11-foot lane to 12-foot lane, or 10-foot to 12-foot. That's going to widen the out-to-out dimensions of the bridge. So we are changing the footprint.
Right.
But all we've done is widen the bridge structure by a couple of feet.
Okay.
That now require access.
So the things that don't change the footprint kind of fall into the category of repair and maintenance of the existing structure within the footprint. And I know that you guys come in a lot for the scour protections under the footprint of the bridge. That would be waterfront development permits often, right? So the scour protection, would you argue, is within the footprint of the bridge, or... or is just part of ongoing maintenance of the bridge?
Well, if it was just repairing a scour hole, mm-hmm. you know, backfilling the hole, then mm-hmm. we'd call that maintenance. Mm-hmm. But if it was determined that the bridge is scour critical and we had to do a lot more armoring, mm-hmm. then that wouldn't be a repair. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't be maintenance. Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm. okay.
That certainly would require a permit, and probably you'd want to say that we've changed the footprint, even though the footprint of the structure itself wouldn't necessarily change, because we're retrofitting for scour countermeasures. We are doing work that's going to expand beyond the limits of the current mm-hmm. embankments, you know, their stream embankment.
Okay. When you do those types of projects, like the scour, when does that get triggered? Is that triggered by you do a maintenance run, and are they considered hazards protection? Like, what? How does that fall in your work assignments? Does that like go above others when they get discovered during
an
inspection?
Well, it depends on what it is. They do bridge inspections every 2 years.
Okay.
And as a result of those inspections, sometimes they will come back and say, hey, there's a scour issue at this bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So then it goes on the list of projects that need to be repaired or addressed for scour.
And you have a timeline that you have to complete those by?
Again, depends on what the condition of the thing is. If it's looked at under those...
priority one and priority two.
Yes, priority one, priority two, and emergency.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't fit any of those, if they just say there's scour out there that is going to need to be addressed because the bridge is scour critical, but it doesn't mm-hmm. fit any of those categories, then it would probably be a project that would go to our capital program side and be scheduled mm-hmm. as a project,
mm-hmm.
And that's got a different kind of timeline.
Okay.
A couple of years to develop it, and a lot of times those scour jobs, if they're done as retrofits,
mm-hmm.
then they would likely be under a priority kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If they just notice that there's scour out there, but there's already a project that's scheduled to replace this particular bridge or do work on this particular bridge, they would just add that scour component to the design of that project, and it will develop over its 2 or 3 year design.
Okay. All right, thank you for that understanding. Because I'm trying to kind of find the buckets here of. I think you have stuff that falls into a category of maintenance repair, right? I don't know how closely they line up to some of our PDRs and GPs. Sounds like then you've got projects where you're expanding the footprint. If it's for a sidewalk is great public access, you know, one side of the water body to the other side of the water body. Certainly if that's your public access, I heard you correctly, that you would be okay with that, right?
Yeah.
If that was your requirement when you're expanding a footprint. And then you also talked about lanes are substandard. So you go through an analysis and you find out some of your lanes are substandard. And when you do that, then that means you have to build a new bridge, correct? Or...
Well, if all we were doing was a deck replacement.
I get that, but when you said the category of lanes are substandard.
So you're doing widening.
How do you do that? Is that a new bridge, or is that just taking the existing and doing a smaller bridge next to it? How does that work?
It would probably be part of a regular capital project that intends to widen the road to address those deficient lane widths.
Mm-hmm.
If we're just doing a deck repair, replacement kind of thing, it mm-hmm. probably would not be expanding the width of the road, because they don't have to necessarily replace the parapets on the bridge.
Mm-hmm. But it would be the same structure. It wouldn't be like a parallel structure,
right.
Normally. I mean, it would be the same structure. And sometimes, correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes they could maybe even cantilever it out on the deck. But that may need to involve widening the abutment or the pier as well. But it would be associated with that same structure.
The structure, you don't allow public access now, the one you would be expanding on? You don't allow public access on these structures currently, right?
That's
the ones you're, right? Because, I mean, we're here to define what this rule means. If we look at 4B2, this is exactly the kind of stuff we need to define or not define. It's already existing public access framework. I don't think that's so expanded on.
Yeah, we do, yeah, we have some that have.
Interpretation.
There are bridges that have access underneath them. But I'm trying to think of the one that was done more recently, you know, where we.
Could the two causeway?
I'm sorry?
Could the two causeway?
Seventy, doesn't the 72 bridge have a walkway underneath something? I thought that one.
There was one that we did not long ago, it's not that recent, not long ago, that provided access underneath it. But we fenced off underneath so that people could only use the walkway that was underneath there, and they couldn't actually get to the abutment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was fenced, the passageway was excluded from access to the abutments. They just were allowed to pass underneath, fish underneath, but they couldn't get to the abutments.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so there are lots of bridges, I'm sure, that have access underneath them.
And a lot of times if it's a larger project, sometimes it's easier, makes more sense for us to be able to incorporate public access into those.
Oh, the 72?
Yeah, 72,
right.
52 causeway,
yes.
And they were large projects,
yeah.
And that was sort of built into the project. But
mm-hmm.
I guess we're more concerned with our more routine, everyday
right.
minor bridge widenings and bridge repairs, maintenance and things
like
that.
Can you maybe better explain what you mean by minor bridge widenings? That's what I'm trying to get at. Is it, you're saying adding a sidewalk. Well, if your widening is adding a sidewalk and you have concerns about having to do public access, adding a sidewalk is a good thing. I would think we'd be
right.
supportive of that. And to me, that seems like maybe perhaps that could address the public access concerns because there isn't anything there now. And now you'd be adding a sidewalk and adding public access
mm-hmm.
that didn't exist before. So obviously it'd be visual because you wouldn't be getting to the water, you'd just be crossing over the water.
Well, if we had a lane width that was like
mm-hmm.
10, say it was 10 feet wide,
mm-hmm.
and the standard is 12 feet, so it's substandard now. So if you wanted to widen it like 2 feet on your side to bring that up to standards to have a safer
mm-hmm.
traveling
right.
corridor there,
mm-hmm.
that would be sort of a minor widening. Now, we could also be widening the bridge by adding a whole lane in each direction. You know, say we're widening the roadway from 2 to 4 lanes, now we're going to be widening the bridge from 2 to 4 lanes. That would be a different scenario.
Mm-hmm. Ask you a question about the footprint. So when you talk about footprint, do you mean the widening or you mean the piles that go into the water? Which is the footprint?
That's a good
dollar.
Question. Yeah. If you're just looking at it from above, the footprint is the out-to-out dimensions
yeah,
of the bridge.
Yeah, we would say vertical and horizontal. Traditionally, that's what we have. The rules are structured that way. Like if you go wider,
from the deck.
Right. The deck cantilevers more over.
So either one would be widening the footprint.
It would be changing the existing footprint. Traditional, you know, like under Zane, we would say it, you know, so.
You know, the existing rule, if we did that all within our right of way, just to see how it
right,
reads,
under the
it
existing
was,
rule, but
I know the analysis is different. I know.
The law's in
yeah.
effect now,
I know.
So if the rule doesn't comport with the law, we use.
No,
the
yeah,
law.
I understand
right.
that. I'm
yeah.
just trying to see how exactly it was stated. But, expand.
When is it not feasible to do? If you're doing a widening of a bridge, whether it's minor or major, I mean, obviously Route 52
is
like
spectacular
example
yeah,
of like
yeah.
what you should do.
Right.
Right.
I just drove over it.
That's a poster child of everything great.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to figure out in my brain as I'm listening to you guys talk, like, why couldn't that be done on many other bridges? You know, like, when is it not feasible to do it? So you have a bridge, you're doing a widening, and say you're adding a lane. And could you just add a fishing area? You know, like the 52, you know, I know you have safety concerns. You don't want, obviously, you don't want people, you know, hitting their lines into car windows and stuff. I get that. But the 52 bridge has the pull-off, so it's away from everybody. So what are the constraints when you can do that and when you can't do that?
Right of way would be a constraint if we didn't have the property already, and then there was a requirement to go and add a parking lot and a fishing area. Now we have to go acquire a property that is not.
You don't. Okay. So if you have a large enough right
of road too, we can't have people causing accidents.
Right.
You know, trying to get all that's another issue for us.
So if you have a large enough right of way, it's easier than if you. No, you have
and I'm sure on that 52, you know, we probably didn't own all of the right of way that's involved in what was done to accommodate public access. That was a major, major project, millions and millions of dollars. You add a little bit of money for right of way to that, and it's a
yeah.
It's a small percentage,
the entire project.
Right.
And so that you can justify it a little bit more.
But for a smaller project, it may be a larger percentage, you know, of the overall construction costs is one consideration, because then you have to buy more right of way and then add build a parking lot.
Just to add something else to this, you know, depending on what kind of road we're talking about, we did it on 52, we've done it on 72, but there are projects where we don't own a lot of right of way. There is no access now. Limited access highways, you know, where people just can't pull off the side and do whatever.
Interstates.
You know, so if it's a limited access highway, even if we're widening the bridge, there's no access out there now because it's a limited access highway. You can't just pull off and park someplace.
Okay.
We wouldn't want to have to provide access at those kinds of locations because it's a limited access highway.
And it's,
you talk about Route 9 down south, you know, that's not limited access. In places, it's not. You know.
And then utilities become an issue, too, you know, because they can be in the way. And trying to relocate them and move them would just complicate that.
Not impossible, but
it
increases the cost of the project, depending on how much utility is involved and how much you have to move.
Which I think is probably all things that went into getting the rule to how it was before.
Right.
But I know that that's passed now.
Yeah. So going back to the beginning, there was some level of projects which you think fall within the existing footprint of repair and maintenance you would like to keep doing without having to do another examination of public access. And then there are, you keep calling them minor widenings, still don't know what that means, minor widening, where that's within your existing right of way that you would like to not have to look else, to incorporate public access. I'll tell you this, one thing we did hear during the many different stakeholder sessions is, fishermen like to fish from bridges, right? They like to go to the bridges, and fishermen feel that they are town to town or getting kicked off the bridges to do what they believe is a right under the public trust doctrine to gain access to the water for recreational purposes. So there's certainly a demand and a limitation associated with existing bridges to be able to do that. And then, of course, DOT's done on the new projects a fantastic job of addressing those public access questions. Every new bridge that you had to rebuild from scratch, you rebuilt it. And I think you even won awards, right, for 52. and you should, because it's a spectacular public project. And certainly increase public access to that waterway for everyone. So we have that, which you're all, everyone nods their heads, absolutely, and it's the middle there. What is that look like, and what is possible, what's feasible for to accomplish, still taking consideration the public safety issue, which is very real, right? Walking across a roadway that has motorized vehicles. So I remember we talked about these a while back, and now we're talking about it again. If you can help us better understand what prevents that public access examination from being made, I think I took a little note here, percentage of costs associated with the public access versus the cost of the project. So I'm going to guess there's some limited funds, but priorities that have to happen for safety reasons, maybe? I don't know. You tell me.
That would be our biggest argument, mm-hmm. would be safety. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, money to us is something, mm-hmm. you know, it's consideration, but it's not high on your list of things that mm-hmm. should rule something out. Safety mm-hmm. is the biggest thing that we would present as an issue. Mm-hmm. On those, pick one of those bridges that is on a limited access roadway. You know, there are no sidewalks mm-hmm. on limited access because mm-hmm. there's no place to go, you know, no place to park. So, though while we could add a sidewalk to a bridge, mm-hmm. if there's no sidewalks leading up to it, or no place for people to park. It makes no sense to put a sidewalk in. And normally we wouldn't. If we had to satisfy this, you know, I guess we would put in a sidewalk to if there was no other way to satisfy it. But then we're just increasing the possibility of a safety issue, because now we've presented something that somebody could go fish from. Mm-hmm. Even though they had no place to park, they would have to walk
there.
Along the road to get there.
What about?
Does the say something about take into consideration the demand for the access in that area? Because if there's really no demand, like if there's no way to do it now on a limited access highway, I would presume that there's no demand for that.
So you're talking about a category of roadways, limited access highways, right? Are the limited access highways considered homeland security risks, and that's why you can't have public walking?
Well, interstate highways, I think it's more of a safety risk, and that's why it's prohibited. You have high-speed mm-hmm. travel mm-hmm. going by. I believe that's why. Office would know that.
Because I know, like, on the Garden State Parkway, they added, even though it's a limited access highway, Drag Island, right? Don't they have, like, a pull-off or something? You can now walk down mm-hmm. along the side of the highway
but
now.
They have, like, on
295.
They have, like, the overlooks.
But is there limited access, and I guess there's prohibited access? Guess because like a lot of the interstates, like they don't want you
turnpike.
They don't want you walking, riding
turnpike
a bicycle, riding a horse.
But I'm looking at the roads mm-hmm. that typically you guys come into us for permits for are funding for bridges, right? Bridge repairs, county bridges. You have a lot enough state bridges, mm-hmm. right, to probably keep you busy. Forever, right? We're built in our substandard from a lane perspective, and would it be out of the question to ask when you do those lanes that you have to come in and make an argument why it's not feasible to add a sidewalk, like what Diane was alluding to, or is it, you know, because as I said, it seems like the fishermen, gaining access to the water. They like to fish on bridges. I remember them telling us it's like the deeper waters and the channel, and they've been limited on their ability to get access. So we're public organizations. They have limited access because of all the private housing, and these bridges are their opportunity to get to the water. Is there...
I can understand their argument. Again, for us, if it's too big a safety issue for us, that's going to be our biggest problem.
Right.
And, mm-hmm. and if it means we have to go through an explanation of why it's mm-hmm. not feasible at a particular place, mm-hmm. you know, we've had to do that before and we'll do it again.
Right.
It's hinged before on some language in some mm-hmm. of the rules that say we're practical, if feasible, and as long as there's an out there to make an explanation and prove that or convince you that it's not
under
feasible.
Certain circumstances it's not feasible yes. on a case by case basis.
I forget which one it was. There was a rule that before
that
had
as a regulator.
There was a rule before that had that language in it, and it changed and deleted that, and that really complicated things for us because it makes it sound more absolute, you know.
Mm-hmm. could we consider though a class of roadways like interstates where walking on the interstate is prohibited? Mm-hmm. So for something like that.
So no, is there a way we like Ginger was kind of saying buckets like
yeah
so it instead of just having you know demonstrate that you can't provide public access open ended is there like can we get it to like you know what was the not limited access or
prohibited
access like that's
I don't
pretty
that's
obvious
right
yeah if it's
right before they called it superhighways. In the
superhighways. Okay,
that included Garden State Parkway, Turnpike, Atlantic Foot Expressway, and our interstates.
Okay, so that's already in there.
So maybe that could be one of your buckets? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is that the way it is? No,
this is the existing rule.
It's existing.
So maybe for those, we don't have to go through that extra exercise of explaining mm-hmm. why, because it's already pretty obvious why.
And then new construction. If it's new construction, is there any reason why you couldn't provide public access? If it's new construction, totally reconstructing a bridge like 72, or is that something that like always public access?
I don't think it's absolute.
I would never say always.
I didn't think you would.
Yeah, those absolutes make it more. I mean, maybe, if it was a new bridge and it was going to be on our critical, what are they called, the critical infrastructure list for Homeland Security, then we wouldn't be able to do that. I'm just thinking of different examples that could come up. It might not come up often. But.
And as far as the question about Homeland Security, mm-hmm. we would have to go back and ask bridge folks and, you know, upper management, you know, how do you determine... How does Homeland Security determine which ones fall into this category?
The criticality and the vulnerability. We went through this years ago when we were doing this, I remember, mm-hmm. but I don't remember all the details of it. But yeah, there was a way that they determined which ones are, you know, on the list. And there's a New Jersey, I guess, Homeland Security list and the federal Homeland Security list. Like the Lincoln Tunnels, probably. You know, mm-hmm. That's not good. And then you're saying too with the new construction, I don't. If it was some odd safety issue where we couldn't put it there, maybe I don't know. But I think the odds of being able to do it with a totally new structure is probably a lot better than trying to retrofit an existing. I would think there'd probably be a better chance of being able to do something there. And what I guess my question too is, what would you be looking for? You're not looking for like a restroom there, right?
On a bridge?
I
don't think so.
Just a couple of parking spots? Plus
I think it's like what you've done. You've got a couple of bridges where you provided a few parking spots and people would go there and
sidewalk. And they were like major
fish.
Bridges and causeways. And without like a little bridge over
the top. Was it like 35? I think it was, was it 35? 35, I think, was the one you were just describing. Right, with the little... area below the bridge. Was that 35? I have this like image of.
Yeah, I don't know where that would be on 34.
34. One of those bridges.
Yeah.
Comes to mind.
Right. What about just like a small bridge over just a tidal creek? Yeah, because we, you know, we have a lot of bridges that they're not just in those beach communities, which I know there's a lot of concern.
But what would be the issue with doing it there? If it's not a critical limited access and it's not a on the Homeland Security list, then why couldn't we do it?
I guess it depends again, like right of way constraints or something like that. Maybe we could do a sidewalk. Some cases we might be able to do a little pull off.
Look at the landscape of each project, and then you'll be able to determine
site distance, like for people pulling off the road and pulling back on. If it's near a curve, you know, it might not be safe to do that.
I think a lot of these are, would just be, have to be by, it's a case by case.
Yeah.
Might have constraints, site constraints, right away constraints.
We're going to have a work group that deals with the permit by rule, general permits by cert, and general permits for all, you know, for flood hazard and the coastal rules. If you want to be on that, Jill will be sending out an email. She hasn't done it so already, asking for participants. I think you guys have a very an interest in taking a look at those. The goal there is to like look at the permit by rules and see what ones might have to change because we need to do a individualized look at public access. So once again, keep that in mind when looking at them, what we're talking about, kind of like the buckets of things where you're doing something different to that bridge that by definition, historical definition of a change of footprint that you think is really minor or minimal. In my PowerPoint here, I had things that was throwing out ideas like a bulkhead replacement where you're just going with, you're within 18 inches because of construction techniques. I think one of the PVRs or GPs by cert is you're changing the pipe from corrugated metal to concrete. And when you do that, you're going to change slightly the width of the roadway because maybe you're getting federal funding and you need to upgrade to your standards, right? To do that because the corrugated pipe is breaking down. So we need to actually get into the specifics for this rule in a really short period of time. Mm-hmm. So this is where Paula's level of details. You forgot a comma between this word and that one, right?
Joe's quite similar.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So you both have honed those skills, yes, the two of you. That's good. Going to continue and I'll come back, right? Mm-hmm. Brendan, do you have anything you want to say or add to?
I just, you know, Brendan works a lot of our operations and maintenance projects.
Okay.
So,
oh, yes, perfect.
So I just want to go back to what you said in the beginning, the change of footprint. Mm-hmm. Are you considering any like temporary impacts too, or for access? Like, for example, if they were like dredging and they had to move the pipeline, you know, through wetland areas, would that be considered an issue?
Well, that would need a permit, mm-hmm. dredging, for sure, and then we would be looking at whether that activity meant a change in the structure itself. Is that a change mm-hmm. in the footprint of a structure? I don't think
okay.
it's temporary
really.
Access.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what I was just it, little, I just wanted clarification
yeah.
on that. Just
yeah.
rule that out.
You mentioned dredging. Yeah, thank you. Our Office of Maritime Resources is concerned about their CDF facilities. Can that be one of the buckets where they don't really want people walking around there? It's
course.
Not safe.
It's not safe.
So,
right?
Yeah.
Somebody could get really hurt. So can they at all fit themselves into one of the exceptions in the law?
Hmm.
Right?
Public safety, right?
Yeah, there's a provision that talks about the Department of
department may restrict public access to tidal waters and adjacent shorelines to protect, oh, this is critical habitat, sorry. There's something.
Well, here's one, condition poses a significant immediate threat to public health and safety.
I would say CEF, what I
would be dangerous. Well, you're talking about when we do that public access examination, right? Isn't that the line that you're talking about?
Under
four?
Criteria for department approval for,
I think you're talking about the analysis. When doing our analysis of whether public access is needed, specific categories of projects which, due to the existence of an emergency condition or a condition that poses a significant and immediate threat to public health and safety, shall not require individual review of public access pursuant to subsection A of this section.
So could that be one
you're
of those
asking
categories?
CDFs
so.
Fall into that? Can CDFs fall into that category?
Yeah. Because, I mean, the material is tested, and it can be dangerous.
Well, I think it's really more that while they're drying, it's dangerous because you could get stuck in it. Once it's dry, you're right, some of them are contaminated, but some of them are not.
Yeah.
Clean. A requirement for CDF to have public access. So it's almost like we're creating our own category of public access exemptions based on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I guess
criteria.
It's kind of like what it says, right? Specific categories.
Mm-hmm.
Could interstates
I think
and
it
superhighways?
I knew you were going
to do that. You know how my mind works by now, don't you? I don't think we've been doing this.
But, Paul, I'm going to challenge that idea
okay.
for just a second. Parkway, they did it,
mm-hmm.
and the reason why they did was the fishermen were really concerned about when Route 9 was being taken out of commission, they used that old bridge structure to gain access for fishing along the Great Egg Harbor River. And so when the bridge was being rebuilt, they asked, why can't you have a pull-off? Why can't you let us at least walk down there? And so, you know, as I said, the fishermen are really, they're vocal. They're also really passionate. This is I think this is the only public hearing I have where people actually cried at the hearing when testifying because it really is it's a way of life for many of these people.
Yeah.
It's a way that they relax. And so, you know, that's where I'm challenging the
right.
thought of like the parkway being an absolute no when I think they were looking for the ability maybe to say yes. 295, the pull off allow people to go
like
look
a rest
out.
Area. I guess it's almost kind of like a rest area situation.
Yes, ma'am, it is. It's almost like a rest area situation. So it's possible for that visual part of it. I get the you don't want people walking on the highway. That's kind of like a no-brainer.
And then the parkway one, it almost sounds like it. Access was being removed, not from by the parkway. But
I don't think by the parkway, but I think they kind of tied the two together, and they could no longer get to. They could no longer get to Drag Island. You remember Drag Island? They could no longer get to Drag Island, and they fished along the wetland there. And
I mean, it's kind of a unique situation.
Oh, I know what was happening too. They were pulling the bridge abutments out. To gain credit for open water fill for the parkway, so that's how the two ended up getting tied together. And pulling them out meant that the fishermen now could no longer get access to the wetland, and so then creative thoughts happened then. So like the absolute of no, we never can ended up kind of opening the possibility that maybe we could. So,
well, especially since access was then going to be removed.
So I think that,
and for removing access, we agree we should be putting it back. I mean, we're not saying anything about that, but It's just that there's no access now. Removing access, it's just like another environmental impact. If we impact the wetland, we have to, you know, compensate for that. If we take out public access, we're going to have to restore that somehow.
Mm-hmm. That would only be if that access was implemented pursuant to the doctrine. You can voluntarily provide access, and maybe you did in those instances, so you have to analyze whether or not it was there for that purpose or not, and if that purpose has been expanded under this law.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily even there. You have a blanket statement, oh, we have to put it back.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the case.
This is probably an issue for you all, knowing that this also ties to our flood hazard rules, where we were incorporating a public access criteria associated with flood hazard. Don't know how many permits you get from us, what ones you typically use, but the law applies to any permits under the coastal program, including waterfront, coastal wetlands, CAFRA, and to flood hazard.
And within flood hazard, I was trying to discern, is it just tidal waters or is it any waters? The language seems to be tied to tidal waters.
Yeah.
In which case it wouldn't impact us at all. That's why it's important. We don't have any facilities in any tidal areas.
Do you have any facilities that are in formerly tidal areas?
The closest we have is the DNR Canal, which
mm-hmm.
comes to Trenton and turns, and
mm-hmm.
the portion that was abandoned might have been in a tidal part of the river, but
mm-hmm.
it is not presently.
All right. So can we just explore that for a moment?
Sure.
Because the law talks about currently and formerly flowed. I remember reading that.
Right.
So if you have lands, waters under that jurisdiction, what do you do in those locations that might trigger a need for a permit?
Accepting the tidal part of the conversation.
Yeah, that it was a formerly flowed area, potentially.
I don't know that we have facilities in those areas. Where the canal was parallel to the river where it's
mm-hmm.
tidal down here
mm-hmm.
is Parks property now, and we don't have any connection to that.
Oh, okay.
So just where the canal currently flows is
mm-hmm.
where we're involved with it, and as far as I'm aware, there's no portion.
That was formerly. So then I think
region.
You're probably okay. Well, aren't you? Let's see. I wish you guys were here.
Trade
you. Well, we appreciate you coming.
Sure.
It's an important conversation. I know people were concerned about, I heard it in one of the stakeholder sessions about concerns about drinking water supply areas and being required to provide public access to them. If they're not tidally flowed or formally tidally flowed, I don't think this would apply, right?
So this is a reservoir, so it wouldn't be applicable?
I don't think so. Wardow, I have no idea.
Hmm.
Wardow Reservoir, I know that portions thought that were formally tidally flowed, but I guess I'm not, right?
Yeah, I'm at that reservoir.
It's up there in Meadowlands. What's above the Meadowlands?
Yes, more than
So Water Supply doesn't have any facilities where they're taking water from the ground, you know, hundreds of feet below, and above it is tidal.
No.
Above the fresh water.
No, we're basically operating reservoirs that are just capturing rainflow,
okay.
And the canal, which takes water out of the Delaware and moves it across the state. So we're not doing any extraction. You know, periodically we get permits for that type of thing for projects we're undertaking, but they're not in tidal areas. That just aren't physically located in those parts of the state.
So a lot of this doesn't really apply to you guys at DOT, but except for a scale to change the footprint use, are you seeking some kind of, can there be a minimal change that shouldn't trigger this? You can certainly throw that out to us. Be thinking along those lines if you would like to see that. Don't know if it's going to happen or not, but you can offer a suggestion. And then demand for public access in the area, as I mentioned to you before, we hear a lot from the fishermen, a strong desire to fish along bridges. And it's probably not any bridge, right? It's probably certain bridges that they really want to continue to fish from or fish below. But
I guess
we all know them.
We don't know what they are, I guess. Which ones will be.
So do you guys ever add like toll booths to your bridges?
No. That's Parkway, Turnpike Authority.
There's only one toll bridge besides those. Is it Ocean City or Sea? Some small little.
It used to be Big
Sea. It used to be Ventnor.
Right.
Yeah,
Ventnor.
Was
it a random toll bridge?
Some private only.
Margate Causeway. Although I don't know if it's called that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know I had to go there for an inspection and I don't have cash on me.
What bridge was that?
It's until like Ventnor. I think.
Yeah, but then she would go to Margate.
It's like a cash toll.
Yeah, it's the only cash toll, right?
Yep.
The new Scudder Falls Bridge.
That's what I was thinking.
95, that's an interstate.
I was like, I
that's not us, that's the Joint Toll Bridge Commission.
That's what I was thinking.
That tolled that bridge.
Yeah. It's like a double structure.
If you were, this is just something to throw out there, we talked about there might be circumstances where on-site public access is not feasible. So for example, you're expanding the width of your bridge and it's to go 2 more feet to go from that 10 to 12, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. but it's not feasible to go another based on the capacity of the current structure of the bridge you're cantilevering over can only engineer so much without having to build a whole new bridge. The possibility of off-site, maybe it's a payment into a fee to provide meaningful public access somewhere else.
Is there that provision in the rules?
No,
in the law
but there is
no.
There is something.
No, we don't. We're not saying that there isn't a provision in the law. I'm saying that it doesn't say it's not prescriptive when to do offsite, other than the equivalent of offsite for marinas. I think I read it. It talks about going offsite for marinas when they can't provide access on site for some reason.
But
it's that same concept.
The current rule does say for the highway section about
an
agreement between us and your department about specifying the payment of funds to the department to be used to provide a new enhanced public access or municipality or something. So that was an option if we had to do that. We couldn't find a
So instead of like Joe searching for some place to do it,
right?
What do you guys think about that? If we had to put it in the rule that on-site access is needed under all, I'm not saying we are.
I think we'd be okay with that. Mm-hmm. If the requirement was that we had to do some kind of access and you couldn't do it there, rather than going someplace else, then we'd have to acquire right-of-way someplace else, you know,
mm-hmm. Right.
Which may not be associated with another roadway,
mm-hmm.
you know, so then we'd have an isolated
right.
property. We don't want that. So if there was a payment option for a requirement to do something when there was nothing feasible to do there, I think we'd be okay with that.
When we looked into that.
It certainly makes our mitigation stuff easier when there's a bank available or
right.
you know, a fund that we can.
But we looked into that years ago. I remember
there was an issue.
The whole calculation got so convoluted that for us, I think that's why we had to. We'll work out an agreement between the agencies to figure it out because it was so convoluted, and the Turnpike was there too. We're all trying to figure it out.
There's vaguely remembering.
I'm vaguely remembering.
Issue,
like,
issue with you, with DOT not being able to give money to us for some reason. To give it to the DEP. Like mitigation, you're not giving it to DEP, you're giving it to banks.
From your end?
Yeah, there was, don't you remember something, some issue?
We can't give it to like a non-government organization. At one point they wanted for some mitigation for us to give it to Conserve Wildlife, and we couldn't do that because they're not, they work closely with DEP, but they're not DEP. But I think from our end, I think we can give it to you.
Okay. There was an issue. I just don't remember. I thought it was that, but maybe it was something else. I know we had trouble with the calculation.
Yeah.
But
was it for municipality?
Maybe we can't give it to municipality.
We can't either. Maybe we can't either have anything like that in the world.
I don't know. I don't remember. I remember there being an issue. I just don't remember.
It shouldn't. I don't think it should be an issue of us paying DEP because we do it now for no net loss reforestation.
True. Yeah, that's
right.
We can
contribute
to.
And shellfish, too, isn't there?
Yeah, shellfish specifically allows you to do it.
Timing restrictions. If Route 52 bridge, do you have any time restrictions when people can be on the bridge or anything like that? Any concerns about 24/7? If you provide public access, do you have any issues with it being allowed?
I don't know that there are any restrictions. We could probably try and find that out.
Yeah, we'll have to find out.
I mean, if it was associated with a park or something, they usually have dawn to dusk kind
of
things.
I
don't know that there
and
are.
Some arenas might have concerns if there's not one more about that.
Yeah. I'm just focused on
DOT.
I think there might be something there that
I'm just not sure.
I don't think there's a 24-hour access.
I know that at the local level, there's been criticism by fishermen that they'll be at a bridge and the locals will put a prohibition of time that they can be there because often these people are fishing at night and people are concerned about the fishermen being out there at 2 a.m. on the bridge.
Well, is it
a
local road that they're doing it on?
Number one
was Rumson. A lot of bridges in Rumson, and they said that they were trying to.
It was probably.
Sure. Mm-hmm. They could just be local ordinances.
Yeah, I think actually, you know what? That's what it was. Because the complaint was that the ordinance conflicted with our rules.
But I didn't know if DOT had any concerns about that or not. I know I provided enough. Don't know when that is. Okay. So, I think that if we write any, what going to our next steps, we certainly are going to have the work group on the permit by rules, general permits by certain general permits. It's going to be not a traditional type of work group where we meet first, then start to work and go into the details. We're going to go right into the details of it because, once again, we don't have a lot of time to be crafting language. We need to really be actively working on it. So I think we're going to send out an email, ask who wants to be a part of it. Then that group of people, we're going to send them a spreadsheet, and we have all the general permits, permit by rule, all of them listed, flood hazard, coastal, and then have people fill in what they think should require public access and when it shouldn't require public access, and perhaps like why. Why do you think that it's not really needed or necessary, or it should fall under the umbrella of minor tweaks to the existing footprint of a structure. I don't know if anybody has anything else they want to cover. Do you guys want to talk about anything more with respect? I mean, I know we have transportation public access plans. Nothing ever came in.
So,
on the list of things that you guys have to do every day, will that ever be on the...
I don't know. It's something we haven't had on yet, but I don't know.
It's that would be a comprehensive look.
What was that?
Comprehensive look at all your project. Yeah. You know, it just is, it's a huge undertaking.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's a great project. Great project. You get an intern. Several interns.
Yes.
First, identify all the roads that you are under your care and that have bridges on them. Do you have those identified GIS?
We had them out years ago, I think. I don't know if it's changed.
Is it GIS?
Maybe.
We can ask the bridge folks.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
They're currently working on that now. I think they're almost.
For tidal waters?
I think they're close to the end of that now. But they don't have it out now.
But for bridges over tidal waters?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That's good. Mm-hmm. To start. And then have them do comprehensive public access strategy.
Yeah, while they're at it. Yeah, while they're at it.
Yeah. Small little freshman project.
If we do have, like, an area now that there is access, and we're going to do something to impact that, and we do want to put back the access, will we be required to do more than what was existing, or is it existing access?
I think it's really looking at what the law says right now, which is the examination of what's adequate access at that particular location. Is there a deficit?
And if that seems to be adequate,
that is, if there really is no other way for people to gain access at that location, then I think you're going to have to, at a minimum, put back what was once there. And if there's a deficit to parking, probably have to think along the lines of adding parking. If there's plenty of access all around there and you're just one of 100, and probably the scale of weight to that changes of how much more you have to do, or if you have to do more, providing exactly what it was there before. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say again, you know, we heard a lot in many stakeholder sessions from the fishermen, they want access to bridges. The structure, the deeper water in the center of the channel, which is why they go there. Yeah, so when we meet with the environmental group, we are sure we're going to hear that again. So any help that you can provide in helping us address that would be great. I think DOT has done a fantastic job on their new bridges. Maybe this, between the new bridges and these minor widenings, if there is something in between there that maybe we can add to, that would be even greater. Or maybe this is this fund, you know, that helps us all kind of collectively get there to that, provide that meaningful access to those smaller, or even in some cases 52, larger bays and water bodies. Anyhow, I was going down. You have ever been down Seven Bridges Road, which doesn't have seven bridges? It's a small little road out to the Rutgers Research Lab. I was driving down there one day, not that long ago, on a weekend, and small little creeks, you know, not that big, and people are all along fishing, all along these little tiny bridges that you can barely get your car over. And people really do utilize those spaces. They're a great recreational amenity in the community. So I think any time we can add to it, even if we didn't have it before, is a plus. Always kind of that beyond the radar screen. So
As long as it can be done safely.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And maybe if you can help us define what that safely looks like, what does that mean for you? You probably have something in your head, right, about what that looks like. Mm-hmm. That would be helpful. Paula, Joe, you know, we'll be tapping into you and Brendan as well for help. We're approved.
Thanks.
Thank you. Anybody have anything else? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.